Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skirt, joined as ever by Miles Starforth and Joe Buck to reflect on a pretty eventful couple of weeks regarding Newcastle United and the wider news surrounding the club as well. Obviously, we'll start with the transfer window. We've been shut just over a week now. A few players have came in for Newcastle, a few players have gone out. Miles, first of all, how are you doing and what did you think of the transfer window for Newcastle?
I'm good. I just think it seems like a lifetime ago and we're just talking a week or so ago, really. Well, I think we all got our first glimpse of Anthony Gordon and it was a very good first glimpse at the weekend. He certainly strengthens the squad. They strengthened the goalkeeping department by bringing Martin Dubravka back. I know Carl Darlow's gone. Harrison Ashby's one for the future. I don't think the squad's been significantly strengthened on balance, but it's been strengthened all the same. We know the money was an issue. They've gone and spent a lot of money on Anthony Gordon. Some of that money was money that was going to be spent in the summer. So there's implications there, but they've brought forward that spend. And certainly he should really add something to the squad in the second half of the season.
Yeah, and Joe, welcome back to the Mouth of Time podcast. Just what are your thoughts on the transfer window? Bearing in mind, Newcastle also sold John Joe Shelvey, loaned out Chris Wood, both to Nottingham Forest as well. Miles said, talked about the strength of the squad. Do you feel the squad are in a stronger position now than when they started the window?
I don't think they're in necessarily a stronger position. I think losing Shelvey and Wood, who were good options, you know, good squad options, especially Chris Wood this season, you know, with Callum Wilson's injury record. But I think maybe Gordon's departure probably allows Willock or Joe Linton to, you know, drop back into midfield, and we've seen them play very well there. So I think it's been shaped a little bit differently. Like Miles, I was really impressed with Anthony Gordon. He only played 20 minutes, but he was very impressive on Saturday night. And it's certainly someone, like right now, as fans, as journalists, as anyone, you trust that the club, whoever they bring in, is, you know, that's their man and they're going to get it right. I think whoever they've got making them deals, you trust that that's going to be the right for Eddie Howe's team right now. So as much as I think he would have liked maybe another midfielder in, especially at the end of the window when they lost John Joe Shelvey, I think it's been a good window for Newcastle.
Yeah, and Miles, do you think Newcastle, like Joe touched on there, Newcastle are a bit light in midfield, particularly now with Bruno being suspended for the next two games? How does Eddie Howe manage that sort of situation in the short term and the slightly longer term?
Yeah, as Joe says, you've got Joe Linton to drop back in there. But that was the one area, I guess, probably we all looked at the start of the window, thinking they needed to strengthen. We've seen Joe Linton, who's been phenomenal in midfield. He's been playing in a more forward position, so there's that option. But it's kind of typical of the night that we kind of wave goodbye to John Joe Shelvey. Guimaraes picks up a three-game ban, and how's going to manage that situation? It's not ideal. He said himself he didn't want to lose Shelvey. I think he described it as a blow in one press conference. But these are kind of as much financial as football decisions as the club kind of navigates financial fair play and what it can and can't do. The Wood offer, I think the plan was always to sell Wood or move him on in the summer. But the offer from Forest was very good. It was good for Chris Wood. It was good for the club. So it kind of made sense to do that deal now. But again, Howe didn't want to lose him. He wanted that option of that that type of striker. He's always had that type of striker in his squads. We're going down a different kind of avenue in the future when you look at Isak. But there's certainly concerns there, especially midfield.
Yeah, and big signing for Newcastle, obviously, Anthony Gordon coming in from Everton for £40 million plus add-ons. He made his debut off the bench against West Ham. Just on that West Ham game in general, Joe, it's fourth draw in five league games for Newcastle now, 16 unbeaten in the Premier League. But what were your thoughts on the game itself?
I think it was a frustrating result. I think right now you expect Newcastle to sort of win every home game, really. I think it was a bit disappointing, the fact that, you know, such was the electric start of the game, you know, two goals in the first 3 minutes or whatever it was, to then not really threaten again for the rest of the game. That's a little bit of a worry. I think their lack of goals is a little bit of a worry, but they're not creating chances. They're still creating a lot of opportunities. They're just not putting the ball in the back of the net. But other than that, you've got to remember West Ham are, you know, a really good team. They've got really good players. Yes, they're near the bottom of the Premier League this year, but the players they've got in their squad will give anyone a game. And as we saw, Declan Rice was absolutely phenomenal. And sometimes when you play against these types of players, you've just got to hold your hands up and say, yeah, they're a good team. They match Newcastle on the day. They were, I think both teams are probably happy for a point at the end. Maybe Newcastle probably obviously felt they would like to win at home. But other than that, I think you've got to take these points and think, well, you know, at least they're not getting beat. As you said, still 16 unbeaten. They're not losing these games like they would have a couple of years ago. So I think that's a bit of a positive for Eddie Howe's team. And but draws like that mean you've got to go to Bournemouth this weekend and probably, you know, get a win, and then that sort of balances it out maybe. But overall, I think it was a solid point. I think the other results at the weekend as well maybe felt that maybe it dropped 2 points with Man City losing, you know, Arsenal losing. But overall, I think they'll be satisfied with the point against West Ham.
Yeah, Miles, what did you make of the performance, even if we're not completely satisfied with the draw, the point, but in terms of the performance, how did Newcastle do, do you think?
Well, it started well and ended well, really. It's a shame they never built on that early start. But again, like Joe says, you look at Declan Rice, he really got a hold of the game. I think West Ham deserved the point. I don't think either team could be too unhappy with the outcome on the balance of play. Yeah, as Joe said, they're creating chances, not scoring too many goals, but certainly creating chances. And not so much because the West Ham game, but if you look back, the team went to Crystal Palace, and this Crystal Palace, a strong team, you know, an established Premier League team, they were getting people behind the ball. This is what this team has got to get used to. It's gone from a team which is itself, you know, got men behind the ball to being a team which is on the front foot trying to pick holes in, you know, in the opposition. It's a process, really, and we'll see if that Anthony Gordon, we saw that electric first touch and sprint, and he suddenly started finding little spaces, openings, that ball for Wilson. So he could be quite a vital player in terms of opening these teams up, these stubborn teams up, especially late in games.
Yeah, and like you say, it's 0-0 draw with Leeds, 0-0 with Crystal Palace. Slightly fortunate 1-0 win at against Fulham, and then the goalless draw at Arsenal. Since Boxing Day, it has only been 2 Premier League goals for Newcastle. Is we entering the sort of period where it's cause for concern yet, or is it just they're not putting the chances away, do you feel?
I don't think we're quite cause for concern yet. I think how we'll be looking at it, what they can do better. If this is a dip, then I think you have to accept it. Teams have one or two dips each season. Newcastle United still aren't getting beat. They're picking up points. You know, of course, you want wins. It's only really wins that's going to maintain this kind of position. Again, as Joe said, they're not getting beat, even when they're not at their best with the ball.
Yeah, and Joe, Alan St. Maximin came into the side, his first Premier League start since August. Much debated about how he did on his return. How did you think he did?
I think I was slightly disappointed in him, but only because I think we've all got really high expectations, and we expect that every time he gets the ball, he's gonna get off with seats. I think he was very good defensively. You've got to give him that. I think that a lot of criticism over St. Maximin over the years has been about his defensive work, and I do think he helped out in that regard. But if St. Maximin's in the team, you don't necessarily want him to do that. You want him to be picking up the ball and running at defenders. So I think you've got to remember, it was his first start, as you say, since August. So it's one you've got to, you know, temper a little bit. But I think Bournemouth is key game on Saturday. If he gets the nod again, I think that's the one where he's got to really impress, because Anthony Gordon, as we saw in that 20 minutes, will be not expecting a start necessarily, but he'll be knowing that he'll be wanting to capitalise on anything that St. Maximin or Almiron, even on the other side, gives him. So St. Maximin's really got a perform on Saturday.
Yeah, and Miles, looking ahead to Bournemouth on Saturday, Is Eddie Howe going to start St. Maximin, do you feel? Do you think he should, based on his performance, or based on maybe because he hasn't started since August, he needs a run of games in the side to get back to the level where you know he could play out? Miles, you're muted.
As Joe said, he's not started a Premier League game since August. It's going to take him time to get back to where he was. He started the season very, very well. Remember against Man City, and think back to before then, when Steve Bruce was in charge. If there was one player who was going to, you know, drag this team through a game, it was going to be him in terms of creating opportunities. I think it's going to take him time to get back to where he was, but Eddie Howe hasn't got time. He needs results. So it's an interesting decision to see which way he goes. Is it too early to be starting Anthony Gordon? He hasn't played that much football in the latter part of his time at Everton. But so I don't know if it's about Sir Maximum deserving another start, but certainly you could quite understand him getting another start, because it was a lot to ask last weekend to come into the team for his first Premier League start since August and kind of perform as if he hadn't been away, because he has been away. He hasn't played much football. There's been illness, there's been injuries, and he's had a lot of time on the bench because of the form of others.
Yeah, and generally speaking, Eddie Howe's kept his team fairly consistent. It's only been forced changes like Bruno's suspension. Aside from St. Maximum, would you, either of you guys, would you make any changes to the side for Saturday?
I'm not too sure I would. That's the only area that screams out. I'm not sure about Joe. What you think?
I don't think so. I think it's a weird time, these sort of three games. Obviously, West Ham, Bournemouth, Liverpool, all building to that game at the end of February, which I'm sure we'll mention later. But I think these three are really building to that. And we know, we could name now, I think, Eddie Howe's team for that game against Man U at Wembley. So I think you want to make these two games nearest to the starting 11 as possible, obviously minus Bruno. So I think I can't see him making any changes bar St. Maximin. I don't even think he'll do that. The only other one could be the Alexander Isak in for Callum Wilson. But Wilson scored the other day. You know, he ended his long drought. So I don't see why he would feel the need to change that either.
Yeah, it was good to see Callum Wilson back amongst the goals. But yeah, Alexander Isak comes back into the equation for Saturday, that long trip down to Bournemouth. But yeah, since our last podcast, the elephant in the room, Newcastle have booked the place at Wembley Stadium for the Carabao Cup final on February 26th. It's Newcastle's first major final in 24 years. I'm sure Newcastle fans won't need reminding of that. But Miles, can you remember the last final Newcastle had? I know I certainly can't, and I'm sure Joe can't either. But how do you sum up your feelings, Newcastle, getting to that final?
I was lucky enough to be at the 98 final. I wasn't a journalist. I had a ticket for that final, and I'd applied for a ticket for the 99 final through my season ticket at the time. And I didn't get one. I think my application was lost in the post, so I can... So I kind of feel for fans now who aren't going to be there, because I know what it's like. I ended up going and covering it as a news reporter for the Chronicle, so I was kind of on Wembley Way, but I wasn't going to the game. I watched the game. I was kind of interviewing fans outside the game before, you know, and after. Watched the game in a pub in Finchley. Obviously, given the result, I probably didn't miss much in that 90 minutes inside the stadium, but I can certainly feel for fans, because I've been there on Wembley for a major final and not had a ticket. And that's, I think we're all just, everyone's been talking about is tickets and how to get them. But going back to the games, it was a funny one. I don't know about you, the first leg at St Mary's Stadium, I wasn't nervous, but I was nervous that last 10, 15 minutes, even with a 2-goal lead in the second leg. Nerves really came into it, because it was the significance of what, a win that night was going to mean for the club. But I certainly felt the nerves coming up to the final whistle, but obviously no question that the team deserved it over the two legs, and what a final to look forward to.
Yeah, it was a strange one that first leg. It just felt like half a job, what it was, but then... especially after that Bruno sending off that James Ward-Prowse free kick. You know, if that goes in, it's a completely different story. Mm. But Joe, being at the game, when that full-time whistle goes, just can you sum up your feelings as a fan, and then looking ahead to what will be the first final you'll get to go to in your lifetime?
Yeah, it was incredible just to be in the ground and have that. Because it's not even like Newcastle have been close. I know they had the semi-final in 2000, but since then, they haven't really been close. But yeah, it was just incredible. And it just felt like it felt like almost the day of the takeover happened, like this was like the next stage of the journey. And it felt like this is what Newcastle United might be in the future. You know, this feeling might become a regular thing. But at that moment, as soon as the referee blew the whistle and, you know, Kayserar came over the tunnel, I think it was just about living in that moment and appreciating the fact that you know, they might not have beaten any of the big teams, but they've beat, you know, they beat four Premier League teams on the way to this final, so they've earned it. So yeah, it's brilliant, and it's going to be a brilliant, you know, day at Wembley. The whole family's going. I was born a week to the day after the last final, so I wasn't born in the last final. So I know, sorry to make you feel old, but yeah, it's going to be an incredible day, and I know we'll touch on tickets, but just to have that, you know, have the family have tickets and have one there, it's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, and the last final Newcastle played week before you were born, Joe. 1999, the FA Cup final, like Miles touched upon. Manchester United, the team who they're playing again in the League Cup final. And in terms of runs, like you've mentioned, Newcastle have had a fairly easy run, people would say. But like you say, four Premier League teams. Manchester United, arguably an even easier run, playing the likes of Charlton Athletic, Nottingham Forest in the semi-final. So, Miles, is it a good time to play Manchester United? Or how are you feeling given the opposition? Because they're in good form themselves.
Yeah, I think you'd have rather faced Manchester United earlier in the season when there was a bit more transition. They've certainly found a lot of form. But again, it goes back to what we've said a lot about, that you wouldn't bet against this Eddie Howe side. They've found a way to get results, to get draws out of you know, when they shouldn't have, to win games they shouldn't have. And they've deservedly won many other games. They've always found a way, so you wouldn't bet against them. Obviously, there's various issues there in terms of Guimaraes. He's going to come into this. He won't be match fit. He'll have sat out these three games. That's not ideal. Will we have any injuries to contend with? The squad's not is light in places. We've talked about midfield. There's issues there. You know, and you want to temper this kind of feeling that it's this club's time. You know, we're certainly overdue this kind of a major trophy. We all know how long it's been since the club lifted one. You know, and we talked about the 99, 98 finals, that, you know, 24 odd years ago, and it seemed a long time then since the club had won a trophy. I think we all know that they're going to go there and compete, and that's all you can ask for. On the day, who knows what's going to happen? You know, sending offs, injuries, you know, the decisions here, that we just don't know. But I think we know this team's going to go there and compete over the 90 or more minutes, and that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and Joe, I mean, the Newcastle of the past, you'd probably go, getting to the final in itself is a success. Do you still feel like that is the case, given how long it's been? Or, as Miles says, Newcastle going there to compete with a degree of confidence. Do you think a final, just getting there, isn't enough, or is it for you?
I count it as a success, considering it's been so long. But I think, you know, that Eddie Howe and his squad won't be content with just getting there. You know, they've got that drive and that mentality that they'll want to win, and they'll go into that game thinking they can win. I think if this was a Manchester United podcast, they could be asking the same thing, and they'll be saying it's a tough, you know, very tough game playing Newcastle. So I think that just shows how much that, you know, Newcastle will be respected on the day. Man, you definitely won't turn up expecting a roll us over, which they might have done in previous years. But I think it's going to be a very tight game. As we've said, Newcastle don't get beat often. And if you don't get beat in a cup final over, you know, normal time and extra time, then it's a lottery of penalty shootout. I don't think I'll be able to take a penalty shootout if I got that stage at Wembley. But I think that if they're tough to beat in 90 minutes and then whatever else happens, that's the perfect recipe for, you know, a potential success.
And I thought, I keep going back to what, you know, Nathan Jones said in his press conference after the first leg at the St Mary's Stadium. He talked about Newcastle being the most aggressive, you know, most strong physical athletic team in the league. And that's what Manchester United have to deal with. If they're going to beat this team, they're going to be at their best. They're going to have to take their chances. So as you're right, you know, they'll all be expecting a tough game, and I'm sure they're going to get one.
Yeah, and hopefully they do. And Joe, you touched on it before, the tickets obviously for Wembley have gone on sale this week. We're now in the ballot period for period four and beyond. And you've got your ticket. How was that process for you? And how do you think the club have dealt with getting the tickets on sale and dealing with fans, the demand from fans, really?
Yeah, so I was part of period one, and that was nice and relatively stress-free on the Monday when that got announced. And then I was part, so my other family were part of period 3S on Wednesday. So we, you know, we went, did both them stages. And to be fair, the website was good. I know there's been complaints, but it was nice and smooth. You know, you get in there and you can choose your seat at Wembley. So it seemed, you know, a decent system. All the season ticket holders that were eligible for the first three, I think, have probably, you know, have got tickets, which is a good thing. I tweeted out when it was announced that if you're a season ticket holder and you've been to most of the cup games, I think it was three or four, you're guaranteed a ticket, which is sort of the right way to go. I think you get rewarded for being a season ticket holder, for, you know, the 25 plus loyalty points and for going to the games as well. So
yeah,
I think that's the fairest way. I know that there'll be other complaints and other reasons, and I'm probably not the best way to judge that, because obviously I said I was period one, so I was okay. So it might be better for you, but as an objective point of view, if you think it was the fairest way, but for me it seemed one of the fairest ways the club could approach it.
Yeah, I've had plenty of friends and family members messaging, concerned, trying to get tickets, haven't got them yet, some are in the ballot, things like that. Miles, do you think Newcastle have handled it as fairly as they could, given it's the first Wembley final in 24 years?
Yeah, there was never going to be a perfect solution. Like, you know, demand far exceeds supply. We can all point the finger at the fact that, you know, a 90,000 capacity stadium, there's each club's only getting, you know, 32,000-33,000 tickets. So there was never an easy solution. I would go along with what Joe said. It's a fair system. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be suit everyone. But in the main, those fans who've been going to games, the season ticket holders, and have been attending cup games, have got their tickets by now. And hopefully the rest of the tickets will fall into the right hands too.
Yeah, and good luck to everyone getting a ticket. And if you're not lucky enough to get tickets, the Shields Gazette have actually partnered up with Carabao to give fans a chance to win a pair of tickets to the final at Wembley Stadium this month. We'll put a link in the description. All you have to do is email competitions@wcommunications.co.uk with your name, address, phone number, along with an answer to the following question, which is as follows. Which Newcastle player scored twice in the Carabao Cup semi-final second leg against Southampton at St James's Park? Is it A, Sean Longstaff, B, Joe Linton, or C, Callum Wilson? So a tricky one. Good luck to everyone with that. And just talking about St James's Park, we'll move on. Big news this week. Strawberry Place, the land previously sold by Newcastle United during Mike Ashley's tenure, has been bought back by the club. A deal agreed. And Miles, we've been covering this sort of situation for a while now. Just how significant is the news this week?
I think it's really significant. This decision back in to sell that plot of land and the subsequent, you know, the planning permission. I think irritated, frustrated, angered a lot of people, and it's not hard to see why. You've got other clubs who will spend many years, money buying up land around their stadium because they've got one eye on the future. Well, what Mike Ashley did, he sold off the future in terms of the part of the only plot of land really that realistically gives you the opportunity to expand the stadium to 60,000, maybe beyond. You know, months before, I've written a bit about this, months before Mike Ashley started buying shares in the club, the club then chairman was Freddie Shepherd, floated the idea of a 60,000 capacity stadium. They'd looked into it, they'd kind of had a look at the costs, and it was going to be expensive, but it was doable in their view back then. And that's obviously when you know, technology and so on won't be what it is now in terms of getting these things built and with all the constraints around that site. So in their view at the time, this is going back to 2007, it was doable, a 60,000 capacity stadium by extending that end, the stadium. Of course, if this high-rise development had been built, you've got people that live in flats, flat up against that stand, that was never going to get permission. So this was so important. And I think we've all, in the past few years, been heartened by the fact that the work didn't start on this development, which would also, of course, impact the skyline. We all, you know, the drive to Newcastle through Gateshead, you can see the stadium in the distance. That would have been lost to this high-rise development. So the fact this land's back in play, the club's got it in the short term. It can be used as fan zones. I'm sure there's also other, you know, ideas for its development, because they wouldn't need the whole plot of land for an extended ground. But it really gives us hope that we could see a stadium at 60,000 at least. It would be hard to see it going much higher than that, but that would certainly be a big lift for everyone.
Yeah, that 60,000 figure has previously been mentioned by Mehrdad Gedusi as well, speaking speculatively about a potential stadium expansion at St. James's Park, which now, thanks to the news this week, is at least becoming in the realms of reality now. And with tickets, season tickets, so hard to get, Joe, just how big a boost is this news this week to support us more than anyone? Because getting a ticket for St. James's Park isn't easy at the moment.
Yeah, it's massive. As you say, anything that helps the future of the club, but especially even, obviously the development's going to take a while, but even the short-term future of just getting more people in the ground is always the better thing. I think there was always that worry that although the owners had always said that they didn't want to move from St. James's Park, if there was no other way of, you know, getting St. James's Park developed, that was always a concern that, you know, the site, a new stadium might be built. And as much as, you know, we all love where St. James's Park is, we all love it being in the city centre, it was always a slight concern that that might happen. But this news is, it's great. And it's just another way of these owners showing that they're thinking about the future rather than previous owners who was very much, you know, here and now and all that. So I think it's another step forward into the future that we all hope is going to be a glorious one for Newcastle.
Yeah, and on that positive note, we'll wrap things up there. Obviously, we'll be covering any further developments regarding the stadium. Miles will be at Eddie Howe's press conference tomorrow, so we'll have all the updates from that and the Bournemouth game across the weekend over on the Shields Gazette website. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited ad-lite access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Miles, Joe, thanks as ever for joining us on the Mouth of Time podcast. And thank you to everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Cheers.